Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Joe Galena, and joined by my buddy George Kurtz on this fine Sunday morning. How's it going, George?
It's going, right? It's going. I'm here early. Woke up.
Yeah.
Proud of myself.
Hey, that's a big accomplishment just to wake up. If your eyes open, right?
Well, it was a bigger accomplishment because before I went to bed last night, Joe, you know, I checked my alarm, and it was a good thing because it was set for p.m., not a.m.
Oh, boy. So I would have been here just talking to myself saying, George, are you there? Are you normally a morning guy? Or, like, let's say if you didn't have an alarm, you know, or didn't have to get up or anything, are you a morning guy? You like to sleep in? Well, what's your story there, George?
Well, I mean, I woke up without the alarm anyway, you know, and that generally happens to me. I am not what you'd call, I prefer nights. I'm a night owl. I like to stay up late, like to watch all the games. You know, I generally go to bed if the last game is over, it'd be hockey or baseball. But that being said, I am not someone who has a hard time getting up in the morning. I get up for, you know, alarm goes off, I get up. Said I don't. Right. I don't hit snooze. I couldn't tell you the last time I hit snooze. I just don't do that. I think a snooze is a tease. Oh, you can get nine more minutes. Congratulations, there. You'll be fine now. So I always, no matter what, I should say that. No matter how much sleep I get, 3 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, five, or whatever. I always feel the same way when I get up, and that's crappy.
That's a little negative, George. Come on, you know, a month ago I was impressed that you were, you know, a little bit more positive, whatever. But you feel crappy when you get up. But hey, I mean, at least you look forward to speaking to all the good people, listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and myself. I like the mornings. You know, as time has gone on, I prefer to be up. You know, my family, if they have no place to go, and, you know, if they're not working or whatnot, they'll sleep in till, you know, whatever, the mid-morning. And I just love the quietness of the house. Even, let's say, if I have to go to the, you know, local bagel store, or you pick up a little breakfast and stuff, there's nobody out. It's awesome. And then, you know, a lot of what we do, George, as a fantasy sports analyst, involves, you know, research and stuff. So the quietness of the house and the ability to just concentrate on what we want to do. I just love it.
Joe, the only good morning is a morning where I'm sleeping. It's that simple.
All right. Well, you're not sleeping now.
Terms.
I hear you. But you're not sleeping now. Let's get, you know, tease what we're going to be doing. Obviously, the baseball season is, you know, starting to get underway. We're going to get some live spring training games this week, right? We have pitchers and catchers reported this week. So we'll be focusing on fantasy baseball, get you caught up on you know, some of the headlines. And we had the first major expert league draft this week, George, the Labor Fantasy Baseball Draft. That's the League of Alternative Baseball Reality. Took place this past Tuesday, so we'll be referencing that. We'll be also referencing the NFBC, that's the National Fantasy Baseball Championship, ADPs, as we start breaking down some of the players. And we'll take a look at some of the strategy that was used this week. We'll talk, obviously, can't do a baseball show without talking about free agency and Manny and Bryce and whatnot. Also got a special guest coming up in the third hour, Ryan Hallam from Fighting Chance. He's one of the 15 new industry experts who are going to take part in the next wave of expert fantasy baseball leagues, Tout Wars. They added a new league this year, George. It's a draft and hold best ball type league, and it's going to be starting drafting on Monday. And like I said, he'll be talking to us in the third hour, giving us a little strategy. Do you have a favorite place to draft, like either ESPN or Yahoo, or you play a lot of maybe NFBC leagues, or do you have a favorite one?
Not really. I mean, I guess I do prefer some sites over others, but nothing immensely. CBS, Yahoo, ESPN, they're all fine for me. Yeah, I mean, I guess if I had my way, you'd like to do a whole season just on one site, because then you'd really get used to the site. It always seems like I'm bouncing from site to site to site. But No, I wouldn't say I have a favorite as far as a site to use. Just as long as it's easy, where you can put the players in the queue, look at your players, see who's available. You know, some sites make it a little easy to see who was taken than who was not taken. I don't need these sites to tell me who's on my team. If I don't know who's on my team, I probably have an issue here. Most of us are writing that on paper anyway. I need to know who took what. Be able to see that quickly and easily, so I can cross off the players and do that thing. Because most of these sites using their rankings is a little crazy. You always see players in the thousands. Like, what the hell is players in the top 250 player, but he's in the thousands because they forgot or there was a glitch there was somewhere. That always screws me up though. So I don't like using their rankings.
What about when they just keep players, like, let's say, who retired or, or especially in football, let's say, if they've
you see that in DFS all the time, too. I mean, when we play DFS on these sites, if the guy's on IR, can you take him off the list?
Exactly.
I understand. I understand sometimes he's you don't know he's going to get to take him. The game starts at 7:05. He can be taken off IR at like 6. I get that. You don't have time to update. But that is annoying when they keep these guys. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put this guy in my lineup for 5,000. Sure. Yeah, he's not playing for 3 more years. Good luck.
Yeah. What about a type of leagues? What do you like to play in? You like the auction? I mean, auction is a really good way of controlling, who you get, right? I mean, are you really like snake style, the roto leagues or points leagues? What's your favorite?
Well, there is no doubt that auction is the fairest type of league. All right, this way nobody can bitch. Oh, I couldn't get Mike Trout. I couldn't get Mookie Betts because I didn't have the first or second pick. Blah blah blah. An auction, you can't complain. You can get anybody you want as long as you want to spend the money. You want Trout and Betts? Go ahead. Spend 140 of your 260 budget there, and you got them both. You go stars and scrubs. But for me, and I will play at least one auction, but for what we do, it's a busy time, and you and I are married kids. I can't spend 6 to 8 hours at a computer doing an auction. And auctions are long. Long. And I can't give up a whole night doing that. So I try and keep my auctions down to a minimum. An online draft, you do a snake draft, it's generally done 2.5 hours. And sometimes I've done, if you with the right bunch of people, it'll be quicker than that. So I prefer that for that reason, because I need to be off my computer. Can't be excuse me, I can't be at my desk living at my computer. I just can't do that. So I prefer the snake. I prefer some kind of keeper league, if not a dynasty league. I think that's a way to go. It's another element of strategy. My home league is we're only keeping 3 players. But it still adds another layer of strategy as far as draft pick trading at the draft and that sort of thing. Whether it's rotisserie or points, rotisserie is much more like the real game. We have to draft an overall team where points you're just drafting really the best players. So, I don't know. In some ways, I prefer one. Some ways, I prefer the other. I play a more rotisserie than I do points. But I do understand the value of points where, generally maybe the best team is winning, not the best overall. It's a little different way of looking at it. Obviously, for a points league, you may not be drafting speed. You don't care. No one steals bases anymore. It's not as important. You want the power guys. Guys are driving in runs. Guys are hitting home runs. That's generally where your points are. So I can go either way on that. Generally, as long as the rules make sense, Joe, I don't really care. I'm the kind of guy, as long as I know what the rules are, the league is cool, you're not going to get some commissioner changing the rules in April, changing the rules in May, then I'm good with it. But I've over the past probably 5-6 years, I'm trying to keep my leagues in control, Joe. I used to play in, 12, 15, 18, 20 leagues, and I didn't think I was anywhere near as good as I could have been, because you can't pay attention to them all. You don't know when every damn league. Right? And I thought I was slipping. So now I'm trying to keep it down to about between 5 and 8 leagues.
And you're right. I mean, just playing in a lot of leagues definitely you know, if you're a family guy and has you're working full time, it's tough to keep track. But we'll be playing in you're in the great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, right? The Justin Mason Expert League that's going to start drafting next week, and it's going to be, you know, I don't play on NFBC too often, but this is something that you have to really pay attention to the individual formats that are being used, like because on Fridays I believe you could adjust your lineup in the NFBC if you want to adjust your lineup if you think that maybe some players that are on your bench might have favorable matchups over the weekend. So there's a lot to pay attention to. You're right. I mean, the different times of Fab and all that stuff. So it gets involved, but still, it's a lot of fun. But why don't we get started breaking down a little bit of what has transpired in terms of the actual labor draft. It's, like I said, it's the League of Alternative Baseball Reality. A bunch of fantasy experts, some of the best in the country, got started this Tuesday, did a mixed league draft. And one of the guys that I was interested in, and may have to talk about this now and then continue on the other side, is Francisco Lindor, right? I wanted to see where he was going to be going. He went down with a calf strain and is expected to miss somewhere around 7 to 9 weeks. So that puts him, once he gets back into game shape, George, we might not see this guy till what, maybe mid-April? I mean, at worst, maybe the beginning of May. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we first heard about this injury, calf strain, out 7 to 9 weeks. What? That's not a strain, that's a tear. Okay,
right.
He's not strained this. He tore it.
Yeah,
it's the degree
of
strain.
Dr. A was on BFFs, and he said it was a grade 3 calf strain, so you're right. You know, he said that there's a tear there. I'm sorry for interrupting, but just wanted to reiterate that what you said was correct.
All right, so that's a tear. All right, so 7 to 9 weeks puts him out, right, somewhere around April. And I always wonder with these things, when they say this, does that mean he can't do any baseball activities for 7 to 9 weeks, or is that when he's returning to the major league team in 7 to 9 weeks?
Right.
And he'll be ready then. I assume with the tear, that means that's about when he's going to start activities. So then he'll need another couple of weeks to get, you know, caught up. Now, not all of his value, but part of his value, a decent amount of his value, is in his stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
Calf tear. Indians go, you know what? You're not running this year. You know, you run when you really have to, not all the time here. So he's now are his stolen bases, you know, chomped down. What do you have, 25 mm-hmm. last year? Maybe he has 10 this year. You know, so mm-hmm. does that value go away a little bit? Bottom line for me is he was a first-round pick before this. He's no longer a first-round pick for me. Now, I'm a very conservative drafter, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, my first-round pick is generally, I know what that player is going to do. I don't take chances unless I feel I need to take chances. You know, if I'm in a league with a whole bunch of other experts, you know, guys who know what they're doing, and I feel I need to separate myself take some risks, then yeah, maybe I still will grab him because the value is there late in the first round. Maybe he was a top 5 pick, and I have mm-hmm. I'm on the bookends, and I have number 12.
Right.
You know, and then maybe then I still take him. But he's, for me, overall in my rankings, he's fallen to the second round. You know, so it's not a major fall. It's not a major fall. It's not. But because I'm worried about the stolen bases not being there because of the calf, I love the player, but I can't trust that he's going to be the exact same. Plus, as you and I keep talking about, I don't know when he's going to return. Maybe it's May 1st before we see him. We've seen setbacks before, and he missed a month of the season. That would actually move him down a couple of rounds. So I moved him out of my first round. And odds are, Joe, for me personally, unless the value is there, and he's just sitting for me at the bottom of the second round, top of the third round, I don't think he'll be on any of my teams.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you there. He went in the first round in labor, 9th pick overall. Rotoballer did an industry mock draft a few days after labor, and in their 12-team league, he dropped to the second round, 19th overall, which is more in line with what you're talking about. But if you heard Dr. A on Fantasy BFFs, or if you didn't listen to it on demand, he talked about the... as a shortstop, just the movement that he's going to make. He was worried about him possibly being more apt to re-injuring himself. So, and if he did, he said it would end up being maybe an 11-week recovery time from the time that he re-injures it. So I'm with you, George, on that. When we come back, take a look at the free agency picture. Some players actually got extensions, but Stumps still don't have a home.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show this morning. Talk a little fantasy baseball. We'll be talking some football later, too. Steelers always give us a little entertainment in the offseason. Antonio Brown, a little tweet fest. Maybe a little, who knows, maybe it was a little drunk tweet, the way he was tweeting, but it was interesting. He took some questions from the Twitterverse, George. We'll talk about that a little later, but that was kind of fun to read, no?
I mean, it's a weird situation in Pittsburgh. I mean, they never used to, I mean, they used to be a very, maybe the epitome of how NFL teams should act. Right, they're always under control. And now, I mean, listen, what Brown said is one tweet, I think, does sum up what a lot of people feel like. That Ben feels like he's the coach of the team. He can do whatever he wants. He can call people out, you know, say, you suck, you made this mistake. And Ben never makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. I think that's the way Brown's feeling here. Not that what Brown's doing is right either. Don't get me wrong, it's not. They're both wrong. But I understand what he's saying about Ben Roethlisberger. I guess Ben is he's another egotistical nut. You know, this guy likes to hear his own voice. You know, I've said that many times. You can hear when he complains about injuries. Oh, I'm, you know, my foot's hanging off by a, you know, it's hanging on by a thread. It's going to fall off, and the next day he's playing. He's fine. He's just, I'm going to retire one day. I'm playing. The next day I'm signing a contract extension. Yeah, this guy really, I don't believe anything coming out of his mouth. And I think in some ways it's weighing on his teammates. They're tired of the crap, too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going on here.
When you win, you could throw that on the side, right? But, you know, when you're not winning, then all of a sudden this all comes to the forefront as well, right?
Funny how that works out, right?
Yeah.
Funny how it's, you know, winning, you don't care. You can say whatever you want. Losing changes things a lot. Brown, first, he wasn't going to meet with Rooney over the weekend. Then he was. No word on how that meeting went. You know, if you would have asked me a month ago, I would have thought, yeah, Brown's going to be traded. Really, that no choice, can't live with him. I still don't think they can live with him. But I think because Brown keeps mouthing off, every time he talks, his trade value goes lower and lower and lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it, Joe, you're the you're a GM or the owner of a team. Do you want this guy in your locker room? That's going to cause problems for you. You know, now you got to take on a $21 million cap. And plus now you got to take a chance he destroys your locker room too. Big. Good luck. I think the Steelers probably would trade him, but I don't think they're going to be able to get the value for him. They're not going to get a first-round pick. That would be a shocker. So are they going to settle for a second-round pick just to get rid of another malcontent? Good luck. And now they're thinking about transitioning Bell? For the love of God, let the guy go. You don't like him. He doesn't like you. Let it go. Get your compensatory third-round pick, which is what you'll get. That's probably the best you're going to do. You're going to transition him and try and trade him? Do you think you're going to get more than that? It doesn't make any sense.
You know, doesn't he have to sign that anyway?
Let him go.
Right? Good luck getting him to sign that.
It hasn't worked out. You know, I think Bell was a fool. I don't think he'll ever make up the money he lost. But for the love of God, it's over. Let him go. Let him go to Indianapolis, the Jets, Oakland, wherever he's going to go. Just end the saga and move on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there, and also interesting to see what the Steelers do in the draft. They already had one season where they didn't have Bell, you know, playing for them, but now they're going to have arguably one of the top, you know, three or four best wide receivers in football. Likely not on their roster. So, man, this is a team in big-time transition. So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. We'll talk a little bit more football later in the show. But let's get back to some baseball. And, hey, look, you know, you can't do a baseball show without talking about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. We won't spend a long time on them, but I want to talk about some of the contract extensions that were given out this week and also over the past couple of weeks. But A little news, and this is kind of what I was thinking was going to happen, and who knows if it's real or not, but tweet came out saying that it looked likely that that Harper, Bryce Harper, and the Phillies could work out a deal. So to me, that kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, if he wasn't going to go to the Phillies, I don't know if the contract offer that the Nationals originally made, which was what, a $300 million offer, is still on the table. That, to my, in my opinion, at this stage, that those are the two teams where I see him likely going to. I know that the San Francisco Giants were brought in, talked about as being a possible suitor, but they were looking to sign him for a short-term deal, and then Harper's agent a couple of days later, without, I don't think he specifically mentioned the Giants, but he said, hey, look, you know, we're not interested in a short-term deal. But, you know, and when you look at the Phillies outfield, they could use help, you know, with a Harper. And, you know, their infield right now, they got Michael Franco and Scott Kingery. Supposedly they're going to be competing this spring for the chance to be the starting third baseman. I mean, Michael Franco actually had a decent year last year, so and Kingery was looked upon as a you know, almost like a, one of these can't miss prospects, somebody that they expected would really make a big contribution last year, did not. But I think that that probably could get settled at third base. They got Gene Segura at short. Cesar Hernandez is going to be the second baseman. And Rhys Hoskins moves over to first base, probably. So I think they could really use a Bryce Harper in the outfield. So your gut feeling, George, where do you think he ends up?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, Joe, that one of these two is going to Philadelphia. One of these two. Now, I agree with you. Harper makes more sense. Harper fits more. But they're signing one. And I'll go a step further. I think they're also signing, going to end up signing Kimbrell or Keuchel. You know, we're still waiting for
them to surprise me.
We're still waiting for them to spend stupid money. Remember, that's what the owner said. He's spent stupid money this offseason. Well, he hasn't. He hasn't even spent silly money yet. More than stupid money. So we're waiting for this. So I think they're going to sign two of these guys. That's what I expect here. And they could use them all. You know, they could truly use them all. With, you know, Keiko would help that rotation, you know, spread it out. Although I think Keiko's going to end up being overpaid. I think he's close to done as far as anywhere near good to elite. I think he's going to be average for a while. And in that ballpark with his off-speed stuff, he could get hurt. So that wouldn't shock me at all. Kimbrel would help the bullpen. They told Robertson when they signed him that you may not be the closer. This will not be a shock. You know, Robertson won't be angry, pissed off that, hey, you know, you told me I was going to be the closer and I was going to get the saves. Now I'm not. They told him this might not happen. So that doesn't bother me there. So I think they're absolutely getting one. Harper certainly makes more sense for the reasons you mentioned. Now, I agree with you about San Fran. The short-term deal made no sense there anyway. It made no sense for either team. San Fran's a couple of years away. All right, why would Harper want to go there? Even if it's for 3 years, $30 million. So he's getting $33.3 a year. It's good, you know, good money. Obviously great AAV. But why would you want to go there and play for a loser? You know, it doesn't make any sense there. You know, so I don't get that. I get why the Giants would want him. Even though the Giants, I played this game here with everybody now. You know, name me a Giants outfielder. Come on, name one.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you know a Giants, unless you're a fan, you can't name him. With average fans, if I told them a last name, they wouldn't be able to get the first name of a Giant outfielder. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is. I know Cameron Maybin looks like he signed there yesterday, but he's got a minor league contract. Their outfield is what, Mac Williamson, Duger, and I can't remember the third guy right now.
Slater, Austin Slater.
Yeah, might be Austin Slater. So it's just bad. You know, there's a reason why we've heard every outfielder available attracted to them. Even Jacoby Ellsbury a couple of weeks ago was thought that he might be there. So they just don't have much there. I'm of the belief, though, that the Giants probably should have traded Bumgarner. You know, while his value is maybe at the highest it's going to be, he's only getting older and his stuff might diminish. You know, so if I were them, I would have really thought about moving on from Bumgarner. Not that you want to, but when you're good again, you know, assuming things go right in the rebuild, Bumgarner will be way past his prime. So I would have thought about that. Would have helped your rebuild quicker. In my mind, that's what I would have done there. So I think Harper ends up with Philadelphia. I'll go there. Machado's interesting. Yeah, I still think he's hoping the Yankees, you know, step up their offer. It certainly won't be the number one offer. It won't be. But I think he's hoping it's close enough where he can accept. Yes, I think his wife wants to go there. You know, we've heard San Diego, the White Sox, blah, blah. I don't think it'll be Philadelphia if I think they're going Harper. So he's running out of, I guess, big-time suitors here. He's not going to get what he wants here. So I wonder if he's just waiting for the Yankees to step it up a little bit, and he'll take that as sort of a consolation
sweeten
prize. Sweeten the pot. I didn't get the money I wanted, but I'm going where I wanted.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting take. And look, the Yanks have kind of said, hey, you know, we're not going to stop trying to improve our team until opening day and even beyond. But my opinion about Machado, I think he signs a contract with the White Sox because that's going to end up being, you know, what's left for him. I think they're maybe, I mean, look, they have his brother-in-law on the team, Yonder Alonso, John Jay, his friend. Maybe he signs like a 7-year deal, but maybe with a 3-year opt-out, you know, an opt-out after 3 years or something. Do I count the Yankees? You never count the Yankees out, right? But I guess we'll have to see what happens there. And Keiko, interesting take on your part. Do you think that you say he would get overpaid? Do you think he might get not the years that Corbin got, but do you think that he could get close to the average annual salary that Corbin got, which was what, about a little over $23
million? I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. I think teams realize that his kind of pitcher, he needs to be perfect, or else he's gonna get crushed. He doesn't throw the ball, you know, 90 miles an hour very often. He's a guy needs to be perfect. He needs command and control, and those are two different things for people who don't know. He needs both. If not, he's going to get wrecked. You know, so I think the teams are very very wary about Keuchel, very 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 worried about him. And like I said, as much as I think Philadelphia could use the rotation depth, I think he would have some issues in that ballpark. And listen, most pitchers would. That ballpark is small. You know, the ball flies out of there. You know, there's a reason they want hard throwers there, and I get it, because you want to strike people out. You're afraid any ball put in the air might leave the park. But I don't think he's going to get $23 million. I would be drop dead shocked if he got $23 million there. I think he's going to have to settle for probably what? He's 31 years old. All right, so, you know, it's not terrible, but certainly not good. You know, actually, he's born on New Year's Day. Look at that. A little news for you there. He's 31 years old. You know, his ERA, 3.74, which is a nice ERA. You would take that. It's never going to approach the 2.9 or 2.48 he had every other year. You know, so actually, I think he could be a solid pitcher for you, but I'm not paying $23 million a year. If he's waiting for that, he's waiting. Yeah, he's waiting forever. I won't sign him for that. I'd probably I think if I'm an organization, I'd start at 340. You know, and that's how far down I'm coming. I want to see what he comes up with. He comes up with, no, I want 620. Well, good luck, and we'll see you on the field sometime. I could be negotiated up to 348, maybe something like 462 if I really, really needed him. But even that seems too high for me.
Yeah, so 3 years, $40 million. So you're talking about just maybe like around $11-12 million a year, somewhere around there, based on the numbers you put out, which I think is possible. You know, usually when like a pitcher transitions from the AL to the NL, they get a little bit of a bump. But you're right, pitching in that ballpark might not get that much of a you know, uptick in improvement in his ERA. So he's a guy just a few years ago was the Cy Young Award winner, right? And it's funny, like you talked about Madison Bumgarner, who I believe is going to be 30 years old this season. And, you know, there was Keuchel is 31. I mean, it's such a premium put on age these days, too. And so it'd be interesting to see where he lands. And also, I liked what you said about Kimbrel to the Phillies. But Kapler was really... He really, the way he managed, and you know this because you all season long wrote the closer report for the Roto Experts last year, just the way that he used his bullpen was, he's one of these guys that's almost like a bullpen by committee, right?
He was interesting. Can you blame Campbell, though? Did he have a bullpen? I mean, that's one thing I'd go there. I mean, you know, Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was lights out, but he was someone who looked like he had problems pitching on back-to-back days. His stuff noticeably deteriorated the second half of those starts. You know, the second half of the back-to-back. So that's tough when you can't have a closer who does that. You know, you sort of need a closer to be able to go back-to-back. Right. Funny how that works out in today's game. Maybe not 3-4 days in a row, but, you know, 2 days in a row, you certainly need that. So I think there's a need there. You know, well, once again, they have Robertson. So the worst case scenario for them, okay, Robertson takes over. That's fine. Robertson's going to be a fine closer. I don't think he's great. You know, he's still good, but I don't think he's great now. But maybe it makes their bullpen a little bit deeper, right? Because now you got Dominguez pitching the eighth inning. Or maybe you use him like you use Dylan Betances, where you get 4 or 5 outs out of him. If he needs to be rested the next day anyway, then he can pitch, you know, one out into the seventh and get those 2 outs and get the eighth inning. You know, that would help. Hector Neris now, who was the closer at the beginning of last year, is now more of a setup guy. Your seventh inning guy, or the eighth inning guy with Dominguez is out. Tommy Hunt, Nishek, Juan Nicasio. The bullpen is not bad. It's not bad at all. But you put Kimbrel in there. I mean, wow. Now I think it's one of the best in the National League. Kimbrel takes care of the ninth. You know, Robertson takes care of your eighth. Dominguez now, you can use him in the fifth, sixth, seventh. You know, anyway, you want to use him. Neris, who maybe is a failed closer, but he's a solid reliever. So I would like this bullpen a whole lot. You know, and let's face it, this National League East, Joe, I mean, the Mets, Phillies, Braves, Nationals, it's going to be a fun division. It's maybe the hardest division in baseball, toughest division in the game right now. They've all made improvements. The Nationals, well, you lose Harper, but if Robles plays, you added Corbin, you've improved overall. So I think this division, you know, when it comes to the Phillies, Cam Stewart and I were talking, it may have been last week or the week before, about team over-unders betting them. And he found the Phillies 83.5. Yeah, as soon as he found that, I'm like, that's over. Great, I'll take that. I'll take the over. But one of the reasons why I'm taking it is I truly believe, as I keep saying, they signed Machado or Harper. Once they do, that over goes up to now it's 85.5, 86.5. You know, I got it at 83.5. I think the Phillies are almost a lock to do that now with the team they have. If they add Harper, if they had Kimbrel, if they had Keuchel, the team only gets better. I may not love Keuchel, but he would make the team better. Now, they're not going to add all three, but I think there's a good chance they add two.
Yeah, I'm with you. And like you said, the Phillies owner said he was ready to spend some stupid money. So any chance you think that Harper ends up back with the Nationals? Yeah, like you said, like a team that could just sneak in too, like maybe the Cubs. Do you think the Cubs have any money left to take to just swoop in and sign a Harper?
The Cubs can't. No, the Cubs can't. I think that's where he really wanted to go, Harper. I think he wanted to go to the Cubs.
He had a dog named Wrigley.
Right, and that the Jason Hayward contract just killed that. They just can't do it there. The Nationals, they made him the best offer, and then he turned it down. I think it's going to end up being a huge mistake. I don't know if anyone's going to top that offer. You know, the old reports were the Nationals gave him at least $300 million for 10 years before the offseason started. You know, they thought they were going to get $500 million. Didn't work out that way. Nationals have since taken that offer off the table because they know they don't have to now. So, no, I don't think it's going back to the Nationals, mainly because they'd be in salary cap hell also for the next couple of years as far as the luxury tax is concerned if they were to sign.
Yeah. I'm starting to get worried, George, that, you know, you got Adam Wainwright tweeting out about the whole, you know, economics of baseball and whatnot, and just worried that maybe, and that you've mentioned this, that we're heading towards a work stoppage down the road. So, but we'll see. When we come back, we'll talk a little Aaron Nola, Luis Severino, maybe a little Whit Merrifield, too. So stay tuned. Fantasy Sports Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galena along with George Kurtz. Follow George Kurtz at George Kurtz. How about that? Follow me at Joe Galena. Sean Angle producing our show, keeping us flying straight. Yeah, we were just talking a little free agency, little Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Keuchel, Kimbrell. Some guys are actually getting a little bit of money there, George. Aaron Nola and the Luis Severino signed contract extensions, basically taking them out of their arbitration years, right? They're pretty team-friendly deals that were signed here. You got Aaron Nola, 4 years for $45 million. So it covers his three arbitration years plus his first free agent year, and then the club has an option which would cover his second free agent year. The way it works for Nola, he gets a $2 million signing bonus. He'll be making $4 million this year. $8 million in 2020, $11.75 in 21. $15 million in 22 and a $16 million club option in 2023 with a $4.25 million buyout. So here's a guy, 17-6 last year. And like you said, pitching in a hitter's ballpark in Philadelphia, 2.37 ERA, 0.997 whip, 224 strikeouts in 212 innings. And then Severino getting 4 years, $40 million. And the Yankees get a $15 million club option for his first year of free agent eligibility. So he's going to be making $4 million this season, $10 million next, $10.25 in 21 and $11 million in 22. So teams locking these guys up in their arbitration years with some, what I feel is some pretty owner-friendly deals, no?
Well, they are. They are. And we've heard the Players Association come down. Oh, this is what happens when the free agency has been destroyed and, you know, we have to worry about this and guys are taking less money now, blah, 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 blah. Which may be true. Maybe it's not true. Because I got to tell you, Joe, let's say I'm Luis Severino. I'm signing a deal, too. It's only taking away one free agent year. Okay, mm-hmm. So yeah, I lose some money there. But, you know, my arm could fall off tomorrow. Yeah, this is not, I'm not Mike Trout here. Where I'm going to be able to hit for heaven odds. There'll be no injury that really takes me out of this. If I'm a hitter, I probably don't sign the deals. But a pitcher, I do. You know, he's guaranteed, what, $40 million, something like that? I forget exactly what the guarantee is. So I know I'm set. You know, I'm set for my life no matter what happens. Like I said, my arm falls off tomorrow, I'm set. You know, I don't have to worry about it. If I'm a pitcher, there's little doubt in my mind that as long as the deal is somewhat fair, close to fair, I'm good with it. Because like I said, I don't want to not sign these deals, Joe. I don't want to take a chance and all of a sudden, oh, God. You know, I tore my shoulder up. My rotator cuff is
right, gone. Right.
And, you know, Tommy John, they seem to be able to fix, but shoulders are still iffy. You know, shoulders are still very iffy. You know, I have a torn labrum in my shoulder that I tore from pitching. Now, I never had surgery or anything, but, you know, you're never the same anymore. You know, you're just not the same. So, if I'm a pitcher, yeah, as long as I'm not getting ripped off. I understand it's still team-friendly. Team got what they want, course control and all that, and I probably did give up some money if I do stay healthy over the next 4 or 5 years. But still, I'd sign a deal. I want to make sure my family's taken care of, that my my financial future is secure. Bottom line.
Yeah. I'm worried about you, George. You told me you tore your ACL. Now I'm hearing about this labrum issue. Yeah, you're beaten up, huh?
I played a lot of ball. Played a lot. Well, that's why I got into hockey after I tore a labrum. You know, labrum only bothers you rotating off on pitching, you know, the overhand motion. That's it.
Right.
I used to pitch in high school and I pitched everywhere. I actually tore it in the United States Stickball League. Got stupid. You know, I think I pitched like 15 innings on a Sunday, pitched in a money game that wasn't part of the league on a Wednesday, someone asked me to play in. So I did that, and I actually tore it, though. I went to, there's an Adventureland. We all have this, a theme park, amusement park in your area. Went there on a Friday night with my buddies, and, you know, throw the ball as hard as you can, see how fast you're throwing. You know, they had a radar gun there. Stupid. Yeah. Didn't warm up, and as soon as I released it, I felt it. You know, I was like, oh, no, and that was the end of me. This is back in probably the early 90s, and my mom was a nurse, and she goes, oh, yeah, if you want to, you know, if you want to get it corrected, they got to put this needle. She wasn't kidding. They got to put this needle in you about, you know, 10 inches long to shoot some dye. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I asked the doc, is this going to affect my everyday life? He goes, no. It won't bother you at all as far as everyday life is concerned. He's for the most part, he was right. I have a million floating chips in there because of the tear that got caught once, so I couldn't move my arm. But they floated away again, so it's fine. But that's how I got into hockey, because the motion used for hockey is like a golf motion. That does not bother my shoulder whatsoever.
Right, right. Interesting, interesting stuff. Glad that you're with us here. Be careful out there, all right?
Hey, you know, I'm not exactly the biggest guy on the planet. Injuries are always going to be a part of it. I told my wife when we got married, you know, this is after the labor, but before the ACL, I was still playing a lot of hockey. I'm like, sooner or later, I'm going to suffer something. Something's going to happen. I'm going to have a major injury. And boy, that came true less than 2 years later.
And you were smart. You married a beautiful woman, but also a nurse, too, to take care of you. Right?
Yeah, let me tell you about my wife, okay? You know what she says when she's home here and anybody gets sick? I'm off duty. I don't want to hear it. This is what I hear from my wife.
Go to urgent care.
Hey, I love urgent care, man. It's not I have to go to the go to my doctor, just by the hospital and wait forever. You go to urgent care, you're pretty much in and out. The care is pretty good.
Oh, man. So let's continue talking about Nolan Severino. So both these guys are... I guess they're on the cusp of you do tiering, right? They're probably on the cusp of being part of the first tier, right? Nola went pick number 28 overall in labor, and Severino went pick number 30 overall. That's the end of the second round. But when you look at what Nola did, I mean, over the past 2 years, has added a couple miles on his fastball. Tops out just over 93, but it's got good movement to it, so that makes it even that more effective. He's got the good fastball, really good curve. Batting average against us was 156, highest chase rate of his career, just over 33%. So he's keeping batters guessing, right? Good ground ball pitcher, which is important in that pitching park, right? 51% ground ball rate. Then you look at Severino. Severino finished 19-8, 3.39 ERA, 1.145 WHIP. Had some problems in the second half. Some people saying that, you know, he was tipping some of his pitchers. July, man, 6.58 ERA in the month of July. And if you look at this, batters were hitting 368 against his fastball during that month. So you wonder, you know, maybe there was an underlying injury he was dealing with or whatnot. I mean, even his change, they were batting 308 against it. So of these two guys... do you think that this season they're ready to jump into that first tier? Like, I mean, you talk about your tier, right? I mean, so who's in your tier, obviously? You got your Scherzer, your DeGrom, your Chris Sale, Kluber, Verlander, maybe. I mean, and then it gets, maybe your second tier might be a Trevor Bauer, Gerrit Cole, and then Nola Severino. How do you see this ended up this season?
All right. I think when you look at the I do tier, you have to tier. You really should. Tier is not that hard, folks. All you got to do is take a rankings list and just throw a line between where you think one tier ends and one tier begins. That's all you got to do.
Right.
All right. It's not difficult at all. People, oh, my God, I don't want to put the time in. Come on. It'll literally take you 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, and you should be tiering. It gives you an idea of when certain players at a certain level are going away and that maybe you better look at it. You know,
you're just grouping pitchers that might have like similar types of outcomes, right, for the season, right?
It helps when you know, hey, I'm thinking about taking a second baseman here. But you know, I got 6 second basemen left in this tier, but there's only 2 third basemen. You know, well, then you can probably wait till next round to grab one of your second basemen. Sure, you could get unlucky and they all go again. But, you know, odds are one will be there for you with those 2 third basemen. Probably not. Yeah, you know, probably not. So that's where it is for me here. Now, as far as what you're asking here, when it comes to the pitchers, I mean, Scherzer's my number one. You know, I would love to get Scherzer in leagues. I don't know if I'm going to get lucky and get him, but he's going to go in the first round of most leagues. Okay, so that's going. You're going to have to get him early. That's the bottom line there. If you want
him,
you
go top 5, type 6 pick in some leagues too, right?
I don't know if I can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can take him there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just don't know. But he could, yes. I think I'm more in the top 10 range. Definitely first round, but a little further further down. Not the top half. Just not the top half there. Chris Sale. gets hurt
just
the second
just
half.
An aside, I'm sorry. He went, and I agree with you, you know, it depends, right? But he went number six overall in labor. That's a 15-teamer. So I guess if you, you know, in a 15-teamer, maybe you might want to try to hit him because, you know, by the second round, then you're looking at that second tier of maybe Cole, Nolan, Severino. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to let the listeners know where he went in labor.
Yeah, I would take labor with a grain of salt. Once again, it's early. Free agents haven't gone all signed yet, and it is a 15-team league. 15-team leagues do change things. So, like I said, most of us are going to play in 10, 12-team leagues. Although 50 teams are getting more and more popular. I prefer 12, but 15-team leagues are getting more and more popular. But I would take some of these things we'll talk about in labor. You probably do need to take with a grain of salt here. I realize they're not going to match up with your league all that perfectly. Now, as for Chris Sale, I'm going to have a tough time taking Chris Sale. Now, he was hurt last year. I know he pitched through it, but he was hurt. He wears down the second half almost every season where you got to worry about the Red Sox. Let's face it, the American League, you know the Red Sox, Yankees, probably Cleveland, and Houston are all making the playoffs. So you can make an argument that the 11 other teams are all battling for that last wild card spot. And really, it probably comes down to Tampa, Minnesota, and maybe the Angels for that last spot. You know, everyone else is tanking and, you know, playing with draft picks. So what I mean by that is, well, the Red Sox can take it easy with Sale. They can DL him a couple of times again and not to worry. Give him that 2 weeks rest. You know, and I think they'll do that again. I think they'll have to do that. So that's why Sale, taking him early, scares the crap out of me. Because he's great in the first 3-4 months, but after that, now you got to worry about him playing. Do they pitch him once every week? Is he on the DL? You know, is he just not pitching the same way? Is this the year he throws his shoulder out? That sort of thing. So I worry about that. I have Scherzer want DeGrom, too. You know, I have no problems with Jacob DeGrom. And, but sorry, Jacob, if I'm the Mets, I'm not paying you either. You're of that age. I'm certainly not paying you this year. I'll probably wait till after next year before I discuss it, see if you can do it again. That's just the way it is. The Mets, the GM could lie all he wants. And so he may have been his age. It's funny how it works out with DeGrom.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you know, he deserves all this money, 140. All of a sudden,
now he's on the other side.
Maybe he doesn't deserve this kind of money. It's hilarious. Right. Oh, a bunch of crap.
Think about this. Should the Mets give him an extension based on the best season of his career? Like you said, let's see you do it again.
Yeah, hey, you paid for what that year. You know, you paid for that. Yeah, he's making $18 million. I mean, listen, that man's not poor. He's making $18 million. They get $17.9 million fan this year, so he's fine. You know, but I get he deserves a longer-term contract. But if I'm the Mets, if I'm a GM, I'm doing the same damn thing. You know, right now I have the leverage. He's not afraid until after next year, and he'll be 32. He's not getting a 5-6-year deal. He's not. Assuming he pitches well this year and next, I mean, he'll get a 3-4-year deal making probably close to $80-90 million. I mean, he'll be fine, but he's not going to get that big deal. He just matured too late. It's just the way it is in the game. Anyway, but I had DeGrom as number two behind Scherzer. Verlander, I have no problems with him. You didn't mention Clayton Kershaw, which really he's Chris Sale all over again, but he may be a deteriorating Chris Sale.
Yeah,
his stuff may not be the same as well.
I intentionally didn't mention him in that tier. To tell you the truth, for me, you know, he's when he pitches, he could still pitch to the level that he used to. But I'm not taking that chance on him, man. You just know that he's going to be on the disabled list at least once, maybe twice. You know, with that back. I mean, you know, you and I, as old Yankee fans, we know what back injuries could do to a career.
I have no problems with what you said there. About you not taking him because of that reason. I have no problem with that at all. Like I said, I seem to be one of these teams that always gets screwed with injuries. And and I've, over the last few years, more than that, I try and purposely take players who don't get hurt. So, but if I draft Kershaw, he gets hurt. Well, that's my fault. I knew he was
That's on you? Yep.
Right, it's on me. I can't blame anybody. I can't say I got unlucky that the fantasy guards weren't nice to me and all this other crap. No.
Just like guys who draft A.J. Pollock, right? I mean, Pollock, you know, I avoid him like the plague, too. Then all of a sudden, a month and a half into the season, I'm like, wow, look at what this guy's doing. Maybe I shouldn't have. And then a week later, he's on the disabled list. So, I mean, look, what you just said is 100% true. You draft these guys and they get hurt, it's on you, buddy.
Now, you have no one to blame but yourself. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, you got unlucky and the fantasy gods hated you. No, you drafted a player who always gets hurt. You got what you deserved. Bottom line is there. So, but after that, Kluber, another guy who falters, and once again, it's more September than anything else, but he slows down. And this is not shocking. It's a long season. They throw a lot of pitchers. They're going to have problems here. And then you get to the Nolas. You know, Cole, Severino. You want to throw Carl Carrasco in here. Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm looking at a list that has Shohei Ohtani on it. That's not a good list. He's not pitching this year.
Right.
But no. Interesting. I'm like, what the hell? You know, this is a very popular site here, too. I don't know why. Whatever. All right, so... And it is a 2019, just making sure. So once again, he's in there with all those. He's definitely top. Both these guys are top 10. Nola, I actually probably like more than Severino right now, mainly because I think I know what I'm getting from him. He was a Cy Young candidate last year until probably midway through September where he slid off, and it was obviously going to be Scherzer at DeGrom, and then it was obviously going to be DeGrom. So listen, I have no problem with Nola. Severino, well, was he tipping his pitches? You know, they can't seem to find out for sure. Now you heard Severino come out with yesterday or the day before saying maybe it was his eating habits and he got tired. I mean, Joe, you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Yankee fan. The velocity readings were the same. His velocity wasn't down 5-6 miles an hour, which leads you to believe that either it was he had, you know, issues where putting the ball right down the middle, where it may have been fast, but it was straight, they're going to hit it, or they didn't know what was coming. You know, there is a video out there of Jackie Bradley on the Boston Red Sox telling exactly what was coming. You know, fastball, slider. You know, he picked it. He predicted it right every time. Maybe he got lucky, or maybe they didn't know what was coming. You know, so it's strange to see what will happen here. He'll have to figure it out. You would think he would have already done it, and they would have worked on it. If Severino, he's top 10 either way. But if he's not tipping his pitches, you could certainly make an argument that he's top 5 at a second round pick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we'll continue. This is interesting. I want to continue to talk a little pitching. A couple of teams in labor waited on pitching. We'll take a look what their squad looks like. I want to talk a little bit. We talked Kershaw. What about Walker Buehler? What can we expect from him? Noah Syndergaard went in the third round of labor as well. So when we come back, talk more pitching. Stay with us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.